Well, let me invite you back to our text that we were in this morning, and we'll just pick up on the last part. Didn't get a chance to finish the message, but so this will be the second part, Genesis chapter 37, and we'll read the first three verses again. That's our text, Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age and made him a coat of many colors." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne asking for your blessing on your word, Lord, that you might lead and guide us through your Holy Spirit, that you might be glorified, and that we might hear from you tonight. Bless your word and the time together, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is still the same, God's Work of Mercy and Grace. This is part B here, if you will. And we want to go over to where we were at when we left off, and that was in verse 11 and 12. And I want to take a look at what the Lord was doing here and pick up at what God was doing. And that is that God does everything with a purpose. Do you believe that? We don't always see or understand that purpose. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense. But that's the faith part. And that word faith can be intertwined and interchanged with the word trust. That's where we, by faith, trust the Lord that he is in control. So I want you to see really here a picture of the triune God. And look at, again, verse 11 says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." And then we find here verse 12, it says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." And it says here in verse 13, "And Israel said unto Joseph," so you have the understanding here that the brothers were out there in Shechem. And it says in verse 13, "And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem?" And of course, the answer was yes. He knew that. And notice what he says to them. He says, "Come, and I will send thee unto them." What would be the typical response if this brother knew that his brothers did not like him? Dad, do you think that's a good idea? Or they may even be a little bit more resistant and say, "No, there's no way I'm going to do that." But that's not what he did, is it? What did he say there in verse 13? And he said unto him, or he said to him, "Here am I, here am I." Joseph truly is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he's young, even though he's 17 years old, is what we read just a moment ago, the Lord was working with him and through him, and he was yielded to that. And that's why I'm convinced that Joseph was everything and anything but a spoiled child. He was somebody who was being led by the Spirit of God, and be it the world without the Lord or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as they were in the fellowship of God, in the family, in the right family, with the right relationship, but a definitely wrong heart, these brothers were mistreating Joseph, and God saw that and used that. And that's why this is conjecture on my part. I don't know how close I am to understanding this. I will be the first one to apologize if I've missed this, but here's how I see it. It appears to me as I read the scriptures that God has given to you and I the freedom to make choices, has he not? Amen. "Choose you this day whom you will serve," right? "Choose you this day." So there's an important application there. We need to make that choice once a year. How often should we make it? Every day, right? "Choose you this day." And so that's an important choice, who we're going to follow. Now, that doesn't mean who we're going to trust as God. That's a one-time event where we're born again and we're in the family of God. But here's Joseph, I believe, who's made that choice. And then God, what God does, because he's already seen the whole future, giving us our freedom to make choices, he has interwoven, and that does not diminish or demean God at all in any way,
But because he has given to us the freedom to make choices, he has interwoven his will, already seeing, not thinking what we're going to do. He has already seen what we will do. He has put his will right in the middle of man's. God is sitting on his throne with not a doubt in his mind of what was going to take place. And that's a good place. And that's important for us to understand, because that allows us to trust him in all these things. So do you believe tonight that God has seen everything that was going to take place before it took place in the life of Joseph and his brothers? Do you believe that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's important. Because I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe? I didn't ask you if you felt this way. I just ask you if you believe this, all right? I'm asking if you believe this, because we don't always feel this way. But do you believe that God has seen everything that will happen in your life and mine? He's seen it, hasn't he? And so that ought to give us confidence. We still need to ask God to do that work of giving us that confidence. I am convinced the way to victory is to be completely dependent upon the Lord, and that requires humility. Remember what we talked about this morning? That humility is a prerequisite, a requirement, in order for us to see that we need the Lord. And so we say, Lord, this day, help me to see. We see things in our everyday lives, but sometimes we don't see God. God is there, but sometimes we don't see him. And so we need to see him, that he might build in us that confidence, comfort, listen, that comes with his peace and his joy. Remember the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is what happens to us. Joy comes from where? The Lord. It comes from God. He is the one that gives us his joy that passes the world's understanding. So keep that in mind. Here we find the Son, and he is willing, is he not? Was Jesus willing to go amongst his own? Did Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit know he was going to be rejected? All right, now fathom this thought. He knew that. Why did he still send his Son? To be the propitiation, or the payment for our sins. And so he knew he was going to be rejected, and he used that to bring forth the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Do you see how that works? And so he gave them the freedom to choose. They made the choice. It was not a God-honoring choice, but it revealed the mercy and grace and love of God to you and I. When Jesus was crucified unjustly, but allowed by the will of God to be crucified, that his blood would be shed to pay for our sins, and the Lord said when he was dying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But God knows what he's doing. And God also knows what he's doing in our lives. That's an important truth to ponder and to bring before the Lord and say, God, help me to understand that you are in control and that you do work all things together for your glory and for my good. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't always see that, or I wouldn't get upset. I am wanting you to understand that your pastor at times gets upset. When I am upset, am I believing that God is in control? I am not believing that God is in control when I am upset. But it does happen to us. But at that very moment, I should stop and say, God, help me to see you. Why? Why should I do that? Well, first of all, it honors God to know that I need him. Secondly, guess what comes back? Oh, you're in control. You are really in control. I don't understand it, but I can trust you. Can't we? Can we trust the Lord? Absolutely. If I can trust him with eternal life, I can surely trust him. And so as we look at this, let's consider a couple of things here. So again, verse 13, you know, your brothers are in Shechem. I'm going to send you. He says, here am I. Then verse 14, and he said to him, go, I pray thee, and notice, and see whether it be well with thy brethren. So what was the father's concern? The well-being of his sons. This is why I'm telling you, he loved his other children. He favored Joseph in this sense only. He didn't love him more, but he favored him because he honored his father. He did the right things. He was constantly doing the right things, and he lived by a different set of principles and understanding than his brothers did. His brothers were deceivers. They were not upright. And so they didn't like Joseph. And by the way, listen, does God honor you and I as we seek him? Does God honor us? I promise you, the world does not want to see you being blessed by your heavenly Father, because the world is bent towards proving God wrong. The world is bent towards proving themselves right. And bless God, it's okay if I live an ungodly life. And bless God, it's okay if I want to. Listen, we're going in this direction to make excuses for pedophiles. We are going in that direction. That we're just going to call them another. Listen, I've already heard it said, well, that's just the way they show their love towards little children. Please don't love my kids. And please don't love anybody's kids, because that destroys them. And that is sin and will always be sin. And it's destructive. See, if we don't stand for the truth, we'll fall for every lie that comes down the line. And so it's not right. And so people today say, well, that's just the way they were born. Well, so you can say that about the murderer as well. Does it make it right? You can say that about the drug addict. Do you want them messing with your children and your grandchildren to lead them in their path and their road? No, keep that to yourself. See, listen, here's what I believe. Ready? You have the freedom to make the choice for your life. And I also believe that you have the freedom, right or wrong, you do have the freedom to make the choices for your children. For your children. Because the children do not belong to the state or to the government. They were given by God to the family, entrusted to them, and by the way, accountable to God one day for how they led their family. Amen. So we have a lot of things coming down the pike today, and if there was ever a time that God's people needed to be serious in their walk with the Lord, it's right now. Because if not, it is possible for the child of God to buy in to the sin of this world. Is the world at enmity, and is the world against God? Jesus said it hated him. And if they hated him, they're not going to like us. Listen, like is a nicer word, but they will hate us is what the Lord said. Didn't he say that? All right. So this is important. So we find here the Father's concern when he says, I want you to see how your brethren are faring, how it is with them. So again, verse 14, he says, and he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, I want to stop right here, and I do want to make a comment on what I said just a moment ago, because this is an important truth that the world doesn't understand. And here it is, ready? For God so loved who? Isn't that amazing? For God so loved the world. He died for the pedophile. He died for every sinner. He died for the murderer. Paul was one. And Paul received him and repented and received the grace of God, forgiveness. And he wants the world to understand that through us. But we need to understand the Lord. First of all, listen, I think have it flipped. It is easy for you and I to get mad at sin, and rightly so, because it's destructive. But what's more important is for us to understand the grace of God and the hope of God, the hope of glory that's in us, and that's our That's our relationship with our Savior. Because we need to understand, we need to be led by the Spirit. We need to seek God to give us wisdom on what is the filling of the Spirit. What is the filling of the Spirit? The filling of the Spirit is not a proclamation. The filling of the Spirit is the guidance of God, not us doing something for God, not us confronting people in the name of God, but God living His life in and through ours. And when that takes place, we will see. We won't be saying, well, but boy, howdy, did I give them what for? That's not the right thing. Because that's what happened. You gave them what for. And we can be guilty of doing that. But what's really important is that God speaks to them. Why? Because you and I will never debate or argue anybody or convince anybody of their need of eternal life. Why? Didn't Jesus say that nobody comes unto the Son unless the Father draws him? Amen. Did Jesus say that? Why would we think anything different? We cannot do anything. So how is it that we are to accomplish that? Through prayer. See, do we have, let me challenge you in this. Do we have enough faith to find our place on a daily basis to call upon the Lord, wherever you want that to be? Daniel went out and opened up the windows and faced toward Jerusalem. You can walk out somewhere in your backyard somewhere and find your quiet time with the Lord. You can have a favorite room, if you will. You can just have your place that you are going to meet with the Lord and ask Him to help you to understand how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that God might glorify Himself through us. Do you understand? Listen to that. That God might glorify Himself. Not that we would glorify the Lord, but that God would glorify Himself in and through our lives. And that's where we step back and are awed, because we understand that only God can do this. It's God's intervention. And so we see that here, really, because in the life of Joseph, we find the Spirit of God at work. Now, I don't know if you understand this, but as we see here, you're going to find something out. Now, if he was a child, Joseph, if he was a young boy, becoming a young man with no character, he would have given up. My son said, "Dad, you're showing your age. It's not. I said, you know, kids playing with Nintendo." Well, he said, "Nintendo went out the door a long time ago. What's it now? PlayStation 4? X22, I don't know, whatever it might be. But anyway, what I was trying to say this morning is that we don't allow our children to have what somebody aptly said is called freeload status. We want to teach them that they are participants and involved in the family, that they have an important part. They also are a part. They're not just going to be served, they're going to serve. Why? Why is that so important? Well, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? When he was talking to his disciples, those who are the what? The servants. Those who are to serve. They're the greatest. See how Jesus came to serve. And so we also should be servants as well. Not because it's the right thing to do, but it's because of what the Spirit of God is leading us. And we should enjoy that service. It's not something, oh my goodness, you just turned me off. I got to be a servant. I do enough serving. We can do that. But see, it's not done in the energy of the flesh. It has to be in the energy of the Spirit. I just want to quickly remind you. Do you remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when the Lord was resurrected? And they didn't know, they didn't hear. And the Lord joined Himself to them. And they were sad. Didn't the Lord say that? Why? What is this that your countenance are so sad as you walk by the way? And they said, "What? Haven't you heard?" And they told him all about the Lord and how they thought it was Him who was the Savior of the world, and he is. And then the Lord gets to where He's going as He began to teach them from the Scriptures all about Himself in the Old Testament. And as they're walking by the way, they got to their destination. The Lord made as though He was going to go further, and they constrained Him to come and stay in with them. Do you remember that? All right, so what happened after that? The Lord broke bread with them, didn't He? And then he was gone. Now, they traveled almost 6 miles to their destination. And 6 miles is a good walk, wouldn't you say? And what happened after the Lord departed from them? What did they couldn't? They had energy. They had to go tell the other disciples what just happened to them. They were so bubbling over with the grace of God, they couldn't wait to tell. You think they say, oh my goodness. Another 6 miles. I think their feet were light. I think they were wow, you know? And they were on the way back, and then they told them what they had seen, and then the Lord appeared again unto them. And so when the Spirit of God is involved, it's not that we're not tired. I believe physically they experienced something, but then they went, right? Have you ever got caught up in good conversation? Been meeting with some friends and chatting, and next thing you know, my goodness, it's 11 o'clock at night. We got to get going. And then you make it to the door. My kids love this. For another hour. You're really intending to go. But the conversation is just, you're enjoying the fellowship. And you really intended to walk out through the door, get in the car and go, but you spent another hour there. Why? And you're tired, and you got to work the next morning, but you still treat yourself like that, amen? And there's nothing wrong with that, but what I'm trying to tell you is you're because of the enjoyment, because of the joy. Listen, the service of God is good only because of the joy that God brings in. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus did not have that joy until the Lord showed up. You and I will not have that joy until the Lord shows up. And the Lord wants to be involved if we'll call upon Him and if we'll ask Him. So with that said, I want us to look at our text here, and we'll finish up here in just a moment. But I want you to see this. So He says, I want you to go see. And so in bottom of verse 14, and He came to Shechem, and a certain man found Him, and behold, He was wandering in the field. And the man asked Him, saying, what seekest thou? Question, did this man recognize that Joseph was looking for something? They did. So listen, he was a very, very diligent. He was not putting on a show. He didn't say, oh, here's the boss. There's make like you're working. That wasn't what he was doing. He was busy at work. Because he had a purpose that he wanted to fulfill. It was something he wanted to finish. It is something he wanted to complete for the honor of his father. Because that's the kind of kid he was. By the grace of God. It wasn't that he did that, but because of God in him that he said, I want to be. Listen, the only reason why you and I will be faithful to the Lord is by the grace of God. And so he was being faithful. And so this man said, boy, what seekest thou? In verse 15, 16 says, and he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. Now listen, did you catch that? How did Joseph know that this man could tell him and point him in the right direction if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? So listen. We read there about Brother Scott Borland saying he didn't know if it was the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden he just asked to let me know if you ever want to sell a building. Now all of a sudden the guy comes to him later on and says right there, hey, look, here's the price. So he will know. He will know. Listen, that was the first step in asking. And then now I'm going to bring it before the Lord. And if it's the Lord's direction, he'll be able to look back and say, my goodness, look how the Lord worked. Look how the Lord put it in me to ask this man just on a whim here. And that's why, and the Spirit was involved. And so God wants, and listen, it will be confirmed in his heart and in his mind as he seeks God in on that. Just like God wants to confirm things in our hearts as well that they're coming from him. So here he is, and no doubt this was a confirmation here. And he says, I'm seeking my brothers where they feed their flocks. Verse 17, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, isn't that amazing? He asked the right man. The right man came over to him. How did all that work out? God created that whole situation and circumstance. Do you remember Abraham when he sent his servant to go seek out Isaac a bride? And he said, let it be the woman that comes to the well, and that when I ask her to drink, she says, I'll give you to drink and I'll take care of your camels. Camels drink a lot of water. And before he was yet done speaking, she shows up. Do you see that? And when he got back to her family, he couldn't wait. They wanted him to take it easy, kick back, spend a few days. He says, I can't. I'm on an errand, and I've got to get it done, because God was all over that. Amen. See, listen, we are missing God being all through our lives. And it's just, if we'll just seek that, because God has promised that. So watch this here. So he's got the right man here. Tell me where my brothers feed the flock, verse 17. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. That's about another 20-mile trek. If Joseph did not have the character or God involved, he'd have said, forget it, I'm going back home telling my dad, they were 20 miles out of your will. They were 20 miles, if he was a real brat, they were 20 miles away from where you sent them. No doubt they were up to no good. But he didn't do that. Look what happens here. Verse 17 again, and the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. He wasn't tattling on them or looking to find fault. Another 20 miles. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Now that's not on a positive note. But here's the positive note. Joseph had no problem walking in the will of God, even if it meant physical harm and demise. That is an example of faith at a young age. And Daniel did the same thing. Did not the three Hebrew children, when they would not bow? And by the way, they were tossed into the fiery furnace. But God showed up. And I want to say this. God had already shown up when they wouldn't bow. God was already in their lives. God just showed up to the rest of the people for them to see because of the faithfulness of the three Hebrew children. Listen, God was already here. God, listen, I will even conjecture on my part. I think Joseph was even praising the Lord. Thank you, God, that you sent the right man that knew where my brothers, that heard my brothers say where they were going. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So here we see that God does everything with a purpose. And what we need to do is see God in our lives. And God wants to reveal himself if we'll have it. Would you stand? As we prepare for God's invitation, what's that tonight, Brother George? That he might have his will in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to call upon you. We pray and we ask, Lord, that you would do a work of your grace and mercy in our hearts, and that you would allow us to be yielded to you. And Lord, that we might seek you with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our souls, that you might perform that which you've promised to do in and through our lives for your honor and glory and our blessing. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.